All right, here we go. Episode number 13 of Those Sumo Guys podcast. I'm Mike Herman, here with Sean Rimmer, as always. Sean, how you doing today?
Hello, hello. Doing pretty good. I'm excited awesome. For today. I think it's a very, very good topic for a lot of people. You know, all of us, actually, because I'm sure at some point all of us have done this.
Yeah, I agree. I know I have. Today we'll be talking about basically avoiding workouts. Like, I think all of us at some point or another have looked at a workout on the whiteboard for that day and just went like, nope, not today. But you know, we're going to talk about some of the, you know, maybe get into some of the reasons why we see people avoiding workouts, maybe get into the deeper mindset around that, and try and untangle why we believe that you should be coming on some of the days that maybe you don't want to come. But I think the first thing to talk about for today with avoiding workouts and is maybe what we tend to see and what motivated us to do this podcast today in the first place. And I'll just say, like, I tend to see, if we program something like a heavy day at the gym, let's say, we tend to see a lot of the same people, And if we program something like a long, slow kind of duration, long duration workout, like we tend to see a lot of the same people on those days that are maybe different than the people we see on the heavy days in general. But I think, that's pretty common. Sean, where do you want to start the conversation at here?
Yeah. I really do think that, it's trying to, take a look at yourself as we're talking about all of this and try and figure out, like, if you fall into one of these categories of, like, have you ever said one of these reasons that we're about to kind of cover? Have you ever done it? Right. Like, and Mike, you said earlier, it's like the mindset part of it. We'll kind of get into later. But like, I know I've done it too, where like, we talked about it in like those worst workouts, right? That one workout from the open, that was like the 55 of everything. Like, I personally like dreaded that workout the next time I saw it and was like thinking about skipping it because of like, I hurt my neck in the first time. So then I was more like borderline scared to do that again rather than skip it for other reasons. But I mean, I think it's an important thing to think about of like, if you have done this, why have you done it? And then, like how to stop yourself from doing it again. Yeah. Cause I really do think that, I think this is probably a good place that we can start too, before we dive into the reasons, is talking about what happens when you do skip a workout. And then if you're always, skipping the workouts you don't like, or, you don't find the benefit in or whatever it's, or maybe it's movement based. I think you're really robbing yourself of a potential there to not only get better at certain movements, but also, like, if we talk about, what CrossFit is, it's, constantly varied movements. Like, you should be exposed to all these movements because you're just kind of creating holes in your fitness here. Like, if I never come because I hate pushups, and then, I don't develop any of the big pushing muscles for a pushup, like, am I really a well-balanced athlete, or, is my fitness up to where it could be? What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I think, the workouts that I look at and I tend to have second thoughts about are usually like what you said, we talked about in our worst workouts podcast, like a heavy barbell or a moderate barbell for lots of reps. And I'm like, ugh. I know that that's something that I struggle with. And, when we talk about reasons why, I do think there's maybe some good reasons for skipping workouts, and, we'll dive into that. But for me, I've recently made some changes to my mindset around some of these workouts. And, we'll talk about that later, about what you can do to kind of change your mindset around looking at these workouts and hopefully, find some peace with whatever you decide on doing, what days you're coming.
Yeah.
So what are some of the reasons why people would avoid workouts here? Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, I think the big one that both of us kind of danced around, like I just talked about it personally with me. I know you're going to talk about it with you and kind of with what's going on in your hip is like if you've skipped a workout because you're quote unquote injured or hurt, maybe you tweaked your back or whatever, and you're like, the last time we did heavy deadlifts, I hurt my back or whatever it is. Like, and now you have this connotation of, like every time we're going to do a heavy deadlift, I'm going to hurt my back every time. And then I think this can border in on like that. Yeah, sometimes good to maybe skip in a close proximity to when you get, if you injure yourself or hurt, like tweak something. But long term, it should be something that you constantly go back to because you will continue to hurt your back or, whatever it is. If you just delete it completely from your programming.
I mean, I know for me with my hip injury, that hip injury developed because of a deficiency that I had, right? And often when we're talking about injuries, that is the case. You didn't get injured because you deadlifted necessarily. You got injured because you are weak in your core, tight in your hips, or a combination of a couple different factors. And this could be the perfect opportunity for you to diagnose some of those things and work on some of those, which is going to be a common theme, I think, today, what I just said.
Yeah. Well, and based on that too, I would say that this is probably, it might not be the number one reason, but I think it's probably as far as importance goes, probably way up there to make sure that you're not doing this one, right? This is that one that, like you just said, is if you're creating deficiencies by not doing things, you're only going to hurt yourself more long term, right? And then say something does come up, like, and then it materializes like in your hip or like in my shoulder with whatever. If I don't do those things and constantly push myself to try and get better at those things, then it'll never get better. It'll always be the same. And then out in the real world, not in the gym, maybe I really seriously will hurt it because I didn't do any of the things that we would work on, like picking up something heavy off of the ground or pressing something over your head or whatever it is.
No, that's a good point. With my hip in particular, I found that my hip flexors were really weak. So that's like something instead of being like, I got hurt and now I'm going to stop doing anything that resembles a squat or whatever. I'm taking the other approach of like putting a lot of attention into strengthening the areas that I need to strengthen in order to get back to heavy squatting.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I know it's the same for me too with my shoulder. So I'll use like the handstand pushups, piece that I've talked about before personally, but it's like I'm not good at handstand pushups. I don't have a labrum in my one shoulder, so that doesn't help. But also because of that and being scared of it for so long, like my upper back became incredibly tight. And then that bleeds into why I strained my neck in handstand pushups. So for me, like I really try and go on those days, even though like it's burned me in the past, because I know it's helping me pay attention to, like you just said, to my problem area in my upper back and try and loosen that up so I don't, so if I can make that looser and not have the risk of injuring my neck because of my shoulder, that's a big deal for me.
So don't be that person that avoids the workout because you're hurt necessarily. Again, you said the proximity kind of matters here too. If you're just got hurt or something like that, obviously you're not going to do anything that agitates it more or, and but still come to class and we'll help you work around that injury, but also even better, try and prevent it from happening in the future.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. And maybe it is like just working on developing core strength in a certain position for you, that's maybe a fraction of the position that we would normally do for the full range of motion, But yeah, there's always something that you can do for this one.
Which reason why do you want to go to next here? I'm trying to think of what's the most prevalent one that I see
I mean,
in terms of.
we could stick with the heavy day one that you kind of brought up earlier.
Yeah, let's go into that. So, you know, second reason why somebody might not come to a workout is, you know, they look at it and it's a heavy lifting day. You know, maybe you're the kind of person who loves the cardio days, right? You want to get in there, burn calories, get your heart rate up every time. And that's kind of what you enjoy the most. And then you see the heavy day and you're like, ah, you know, it's not what I'm good at or whatever. You know, and you decide not to come on that barbell day, that lifting day. How often do you see that, Sean?
More than I would like to kind of admit. I think the heavy day, like you said, is the antithesis of like, did I get much out of this one? Right. Like I didn't really even sweat maybe. And personally, I think the heavy days are probably the most important to come to. Outside, like more than we're just going to monostructural cardio. You know, I think you're going to get more out of your heavy days. And I think you're lying to yourself if you think that you're not going to get anything out of a heavy day.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the heavy day has tons of benefits that you know, maybe don't show up as prevalent in other workouts. I think in general, people need to do more strength training. You know, we're talking about the general public here. And, you know, depending on who you are, how old you are, that kind of stuff, like there's tons of benefits to strength training. In terms of like simple one, putting on more muscle mass, I think everybody who's coming to the gym could probably benefit from putting on a little more muscle mass. And, you know, don't interpret that as getting like big and bulky.
Right.
If your goals are to be lean and mean and, you know, look good, putting on muscle mass is going to help you with that. Pretty much whatever goal you can throw at me right now, I'm probably going to say you should probably train more.
Well, and you know, the lowest hanging fruit one that we talk about with heavy days is like, especially for the ladies, right? And particularly right. As you get a little bit older, like osteopenia and osteoporosis, this is literally the only thing that can help with bone density and kind of help reverse those things, right? So
yeah, I literally just had this conversation with somebody the other day. It was actually her husband has osteoporosis at the age of 50. Oof. Which is young and it's not particularly prevalent in men usually, but it still affects all of us. And literally, like you said, literally the only thing you can do is strength training.
I mean, you know, this is an extreme example, but the biggest like power lifters who are back squatting 1,000 pounds, like I've read articles and listened to podcasts and stuff about them. And when they do their bone density scans, they're like off the charts. Like they don't even have a number high enough to register how strong their bones are because they have this extra mass on them, you know, or external that they're kind of now having to fight against and like what that does to you.
Yeah. You might be able to cite the exact percentage on this one, but I think there's a percentage out there that I've heard over the age of 60, people who fall and break their hip, there's like an insanely high percentage of those people who end up dying because of a result of the injury or the surgery or the recovery process. It's pretty high. It's pretty prevalent. And you know, you don't want to be in that percentage. Get strong bones.
Well, and like you said, it's, you know, the biggest fear, even for younger people, right? So if you have softer bones and you fall and, you know, you break your hip, right? And now you are immobile. If you've ever been in a situation where you are immobile and having to rely on a wheelchair or crutches or whatever to get around, you understand how hard that is, right? And maybe you were 20 at the time and it sucked. Now imagine being 85 and having to deal with that. And I think that, you know, that it goes without saying, trying to figure out like, why did you get so injured if you just fell from a standing position or maybe fell off a chair? And most of the time it is off of bone density.
Yeah. Don't skip those heavy days.
Right.
Really important.
Yeah.
What's another reason why people might skip a workout?
I think another big one that I see a lot is if you think that you're not good at those movements, right?
Yeah.
So again, I'll use myself as the example of I am not good at handstand pushups. So if every time a handstand pushup came into it, I just scratch it off the list and avoid it completely. I mean, what? How am I helping myself there? But I think that's a really big one. It's like people maybe don't think they're good at running or overhead squats or, you know, whatever it is, toes to bar, right? And then they just cut it out completely.
Yeah. Yeah, I jotted down running as a big one as well that I see. But yeah, it could go for any of the movements that we do. And I think a lot of times people, you know, getting a little into the mindset here, basically tell themselves that they're not good at it. And it may not necessarily be that true. You know, I mean, it might be something that you're, you know, working on. And but I do kind of think some people kind of put that belief on themselves and limit themselves in a way.
Yeah.
Just by thinking that.
Yeah. And I think there's a bunch of things, like a couple of reasons that we'll talk about in a second that fall into that same mindset of like, it really is kind of you telling yourself, I can't do it, don't like it, whatever it is. And, you know, after we go through all these reasons, we're going to kind of talk about the mindset part of it a little bit. But I think you're just robbing yourself of so much by having the mindset of like, I'm not good at these, so I don't want to do them or whatever it is. You know,
yeah, it could be like a little bit of the time domain too, like not necessarily just a movement. It could be that someone is like, I'm not good at shorter, faster workouts, or I'm not as good, or I don't like the longer workouts. You know, when you get really out of breath. I will say like some of the benefits of coming on those days. You know, if you're someone who, let's take the example of someone who's like, who maybe runs on their own, pretty good at the longer, slower stuff, but you see like a shorter workout, and you're like, oh, like, and I'm not good at sprinting, right? Or something like that. You probably need to come to those shorter workouts if you're ever going to try and develop the capacity to sprint in this like short bursts of power output. The only way to get better at it is by doing it. So go ahead. Yeah.
Well, and on like the short workouts, and I think you nailed it, is like what you're developing in the short sprint style workouts are so polar opposite from what you're developing on those like 45 minute EMOMs or whatever they are, where it's just, you know, longer, slower based stuff. And I really do think that the things that you develop in the short sprint, like Fran will use, is like the, you know, the one that everybody knows, like that is so short, but if you do it right, like the things that you are building in that, you know, 3 to 5 minutes or whatever, however long it takes you, right? You are developing those big fast switch muscles, or maybe it's those 100 meter sprint days that we've talked about. Like the things that you're building there are so big because they're all your big power outputs. So maybe that's just it, is I don't come to the short days. And then when it's something like a power clean or a snatch or whatever that is directly related to power output, and I don't have those things, like there's a direct correlation that you can draw from not coming to short workouts and developing those muscles to why I don't have them. And maybe some of the more dynamic lifts. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you hit on it too, like just trying to develop different muscle fibers. So using that same example, you're the person who's better at the longer, slow stuff. You know, if you come on those short sprint days, you're going to be tapping into those fast twitch muscle fibers. You're going to be developing them more and touching other energy systems. These like short, fast, powerful energy systems that you don't tap into on longer runs. And I just want to make the note too, like they might be polar opposite, but if you're coming on those short, fast days and developing those, it's going to help you on your longer run. So like, let's use a marathon runner, for example, somebody like that is going to really benefit from touching those shorter, fast power, you know, speed efforts, and it's going to benefit you for your longer runs.
Absolutely. And we talk about it with people at the gym too. Again, I'll use my mom. I like using my mom as an example, just because she won't get mad at me, but, it was like, she used to be a long distance runner where she would do half marathons all the time. Right. And then when I originally, you know, 5-6 years ago, got her into coming to CrossFit, and, you know, we talked about lifting weights and, you know, the Olympic movements and stuff like that, and really getting some of those power things, she assumed that her runs would be getting slower because she's not constantly going out for a 5 or 6 mile run.
Right.
And then she ended up finding out that her mile time was getting better by not doing, like, not focusing strictly on that and doing more of what you were just talking about, the short power outputted, like, little workouts and working on developing those different muscle fibers, and her running has got better.
Yeah. On that. Yeah. No surprise there for me. And I think the opposite, of course, is true as well. If you're the person who's, you know, the power athlete, you know, could crush a 3-minute sprint, but can't, you know, has a harder time running for, you know, 30 minute efforts or any something like that, longer duration, same kind of benefits too. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, those longer efforts can have a lot of health benefits, particularly for that person. And I'm assuming a lot of, you know, it depends on what your goals are, but I'm assuming a lot of people have health somewhere on their goals list, or at least you should, or you will eventually, you know, doing some of these longer, slower efforts when you're a power-based shorter athlete, is going to have huge health benefits. And obviously, like, same thing here, one works off the other, and one can improve the other.
Well, and we'll even talk about too, like, for your cardiovascular system, right? Like, your heart is a muscle, right? Yeah. So it's getting work just like the rest of your muscles are in different types of workouts. And so, you know, if we look at the example of lifting weights and lifting heavy weights for less reps, right? And then we lift lighter weight for more reps. And like, what those two different things do for your muscle fibers is as strictly looking at a lifting point, right? And then we draw the parallel to our cardiovascular system and do the same thing. So we have these really short, intense things, right, versus those long distance runs, and then the benefits that that can have on your heart, your cardiovascular system, and then kind of, you know, the wide breadth of advantages you can gain by doing all of those things too. Like, maybe I getting my heart rate up for a very short amount of time to where it's at like that 70 to 80 to 90% of its max heart rate is really important, just like keeping at like a 50 or 60% for 20 minutes is.
Yeah. And it could help your recovery too, you know, just like improving your cardiovascular system in general with those longer efforts. Nice. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you are not good at particular movements or time domains, think about coming on those days that you maybe struggle a little bit more with. And I think it'll bleed over into the things that you do enjoy more too.
Yeah.
It'll make you better at the things that you like.
Yeah. I think a good reason that we can go to next that we'll hear a lot of, and it kind of touches in on what we've been talking about with the heavy days, the too short workouts, is doing, it's not enough, right? It's that mindset of like, a 3-minute workout is not enough for me to get anything out of that, right? And it's those people that think, I need to be working out for 45 minutes constantly to get anything out of it.
Yeah. Or maybe it needs to be for time, high intensity, and this is a not for time day.
Right.
I do see that pretty regularly at the gym. And even people have verbalized it in the past before. You know, same thing here too. Like, I think, you know, those short, fast workouts, we talked about the benefits of those days. On the not for time days, you know, on those days, we program those intentionally. You know, if you look back at previous episodes that we've done, we do those intentionally so people, you know, can keep coming regularly and not beat themselves up constantly doing high intensity, you know, efforts. And those days are a good opportunity, I think, to maybe even if you're feeling really good and you maybe you are that person who wants to do a little bit more to kind of level it up a little bit. Maybe you use a heavier dumbbell than you normally would for the movement. Maybe you do a harder variation of the exercise that you're working towards. You know, let's just say it's a strict pull-up. Maybe you're doing a strict chest to bar pull-up that day, trying to make it a little harder. You know, or whatever, you know, usually you do a ring row, then maybe you are trying strict pull-ups with the bands today, where you wouldn't do that in a for time workout. So I think not for time workouts are a great chance to try something different. And again, you know, working on building your skills for the days where we are doing it for time.
Yeah. And I really do think the not enough mind like piece of this and reason that people have, I think that goes back to one of our original podcasts. It may be the very first episode of the intensity part of it. And you were just kind of touching on it with the ring row versus a pull-up and everything is no matter what the day is, a heavy day, a not for time day, a short workout, right? All of the different levels of intensity for those are way different. But you should be able to make it as intense as you can based on what you're doing, right? So a heavy day, it's like your intensity is going to come from doing more weight, right? That's what makes it more intense. You know, the shorter days, you go faster. But not for time days, it like you just said, it gives you the opportunity to maybe try something that you can't do in a workout. But you're building a different level of intensity during that to keep, right, you kind of pushing the needle forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Maybe another reason we could get into here. Let's go into people think that they can't do it. So like you see the workout of the day and you're like, well, there's muscle ups not coming today.
Yep.
I see that happen. I see people say that, you know, when I ask them why they didn't make it that day. Let's try and help people reframe how they should feel about workouts that have movements or, you know, things in them that they feel like that they can't do yet.
Yeah. And I think this is, it's a twofold thing, right? It's the mindset that people have of thinking they can't do it. And then them trusting in us to give them a scale to where they can do it. Right. And I think the second part of that, right, is the piece that's really lost on people sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, where, like you said, maybe it's a muscle up that you're kind of working into and they automatically just write it off and say, can't do that. But they don't take in consideration the fact that we can help them find a scale for that to replicate it as best as possible and give them as much of, as you know, ride the line as close as we can to keeping it as close to a muscle up as we can and getting them some progress in that movement. And I really do think that's probably the big reason that people will do it is because they kind of write off the fact that we can scale literally everything.
Yeah. And very often, like you said, those movements that we scale to are the building blocks that will progress you to be able to do that movement maybe day one day or get closer to it at least. And that's the goal, like just moving the needle forward. And I think this ties into the other one that we talked about, reasons why people don't come, not being good at movements. You know, if you think that you are not good at something or if you think that you can't do it, when you come to a class, we will work on skills in the warm-up. That you get a chance to work on these things, right? Even if you're not doing a muscle up that day, you're going to be working on skills and progressions that day in the warm up that you probably won't be touching on other days.
Right.
You know, and if you're missing those days and you're avoiding those workout days, you're never going to touch those kind of skills and those movement patterns that you get to work on. You know, at least in the warm up, maybe you're not doing the muscle up in the workout, but maybe you are working up towards it in the warm up. And I think that's important to note too. Like you're going to be touching these things in the class.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. So remember, always come and trust in us in finding something that you can do for that. Mike, and how about that? The last one sitting right there in the middle. I think it, you know, this is one that we hear a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not a silly one, but it's also one that just, people totally get in their mind from the jump. Right. Yeah. And it is working out with a partner. So they avoid partner workouts completely because they don't want to let their partner down or slow them down, or, you know, you're not doing the same movements as them. So then you think that, you know, it's not even a good workout for them, right? If you're doing something different. And I think it's one that we hear. Yeah. It's one we hear a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Especially because most of the time our workouts on Saturday are partner workouts. Mike, how do you feel about people that use this as one of the reasons that they come or they don't come?
Yeah, I find the same reasoning. Like, they think they're going to hold their partner back. They think that they're, you know, the person's going to like not get a good workout because of it and be like, mad or frustrated. I have yet to have someone come up to me after a workout and be like, man, I really didn't get a good workout because I was partnered with this other person. I have yet for that to happen. I've been doing this for 10 years. You know, I think everyone at the gym just wants everyone else to succeed and be successful. And it's all of your own insecurities that are coming out. And then we can get into, you know, modifications and stuff we talked about earlier. Like, there are easy ways for us to ensure that both partners are getting a good workout in any workout setting, regardless of what movements you're doing or the time domains or anything like that. There are easy ways to turn those dials and make it harder for someone else and maybe a little easier for someone else to like get the perfect balance, so everybody walks out of there with a great workout.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I would say as we talk about partner workouts, the funny thing is you and I have talked about this a lot, is when we hear this specific reason for not coming to, so say, you know, I feel weird about coming to partner workouts because, I feel like I'm going to let you down or whatever it may be. And I have these weird, thoughts and maybe insecurities about myself and kind of how it bleeds into you and I being a partner. You're going to have those same kind of trepidations that you think about too, of like, oh my God, maybe I'm going to be partnered with somebody different this time. And like, are they going to be like, you know, everybody has some level of, thoughts that kind of penetrate their mind when it comes to a partner workout, whether, you know, maybe I don't come because of it, but you still come, but you're still thinking of those things. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so it's kind of like trying to ease everybody's mind of like, everybody has these thoughts with partner workouts,
true,
whether they come or don't. So it's trying to let yourself relax and bring your guard down a little bit and know that, you know, if I come in and I'm like, hey, Mike, I'm sorry, like, I'm your partner, I'm going to slow you down or whatever. And you're like, no, thank you. I thought I was going to be partnered with, you know, Katie, who's going to go hair on fire. And like, most people are going to actually appreciate you just being upfront and honest with them, and then allowing their guard to drop a little bit when it comes to a partner workout too. Cause I do think that everybody's, you know, puts the wall up in some way when it comes to a partner workout, and it's trying to just relax a little bit. And then you definitely have a better time when you do that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I know me personally, I work harder with a partner.
Yeah.
You and I, coming from the team sport world, I always tell this to Katie. I'm like, given the opportunity, like two different things, me working by myself or me working with a partner or a group of people, like I will die for someone else. That I would not do that by myself, alone in the gym, working out by myself, you know, like, if I need to go a little faster for to go, you know, to help my partner out, like I'm going to do it. If I need to hold on to that barbell a little bit longer so my partner gets more of a break, like I'm going to do it. I would have totally dropped it if it was just my, you know, me by myself. So there, I think, are there some benefits for working with someone else too, that maybe you work a little harder than you would otherwise.
Yeah. And I mean, in all honesty, like us as coaches too, we try not to like partner somebody who is going to like set the world on fire with somebody who's coming in for the first time that day.
Yeah.
Like we're going to try our best not to partner those people up in some way. Right. But you know, if it happens, it's fun. It's fun to kind of like get pushed a little bit, like you were just saying, or, you know, if you're pushing yourself a little bit more for that. So I think like with partner workouts, it's like using what you talked about as kind of fuel for the workout is actually a really fun thing to do. And then in all honesty, like one of the big reasons that partner workouts are so fun, and while we program them all the time on Saturdays, is it's fun to like get to know people, right? Yeah. Like, you know, building the community that you're looking for by coming to CrossFit happens by interacting with people, right? If I just sat in the corner all the time by myself and didn't talk to anybody or make eye contact with anybody, you know, are you really having a good time? But like, if you can have a partner workout with somebody and enjoy it, and then you have that camaraderie at the end, like we did it, we made it through, we're both alive. I think that's a really big thing. And then, you know, you gain a friend out of that too, or an ally.
Yeah, I mean, it could end up being a reason why you do come, is now you have someone who's holding you accountable. You have a friend, you have a new buddy that you made, and now that maybe helps you come more often, which is what we're talking about today.
100%.
I think, you know, looking at the reasons why you're not coming to certain workouts, why you're trying to maybe intentionally avoiding certain workouts is a big thing for today. You know, like, do you fall into any of these buckets that we talked about today? You know, are you avoiding workouts for a particular reason? And just bring some awareness to that, you know, be like, oh my God, I'm the person who is avoiding work. You know, I always avoid the running days or whatever. And just like take a good hard look at like why you are avoiding those workouts. And, you know, hopefully some of the reasons we gave for, like, you know, the benefits to coming on those days, you know, opportunities to work on skills, like running is a skill. So if you're that person, there's a lot of skill involved in running. I think people don't give that a lot of credit, you know, and in all of the movements that we do involve some level of skill. You know, you get a chance to work on that. You're going to touch some other energy systems and muscle fibers, maybe that you don't use as often. And you push the needle in the direction of your goals by coming on those workouts that maybe are not your favorite.
Yeah. I think one of the big things is, like you said, if we struck a nerve by bringing up these examples and being like, that was me. Oh man. Like, oh no. Right there. I think there are plans that you can put in place to kind of help yourself out. Like a big one that, you know, we like to go to too, is the unlimited people are in a group of their own in the way of like, maybe if they're cherry picking, they have another opportunity to come a different day. Right. And then strictly for like the people that are coming 2 to 3 times a week, like you have very limited days that you're coming, right? It's trying to actually make a priority for one of those days that you don't necessarily want to come to. That's going to be really important for you. So like we'll use the 3-day week, you know, people. And I know you and I agree on this, Mike, but it's like, if you have 3 days, make one of the days, you know, a heavy day. So you're touching that right piece of it and you're getting the benefits of a heavy day. Make another day one that you're absolutely going to enjoy and love. Like you look at it and be like, I am going to destroy this workout, right? Make sure you have that day. And then that third day, make it a day that you would in normal circumstances skip, or if you fall into one of these reasons that we just listed out, right? Make it a day that you're not necessarily going to love, and you know that you need the work there. Like, make sure, so you have that heavy day, one that you love, and then one that you know you're going to, you need the work with, right? Yeah. And you have a very well-balanced program right there.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. Good actionable, you know, plan to set up. Yeah. And even for the people who are coming, you know, unlimited, make sure you're coming to that heavy day. Make sure you're coming to that one, you know, set your hair on fire workout. And then the one workout that you need to work on more is like ensuring that you're getting those 3 days in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say with the, I think the overarching theme with this is like the mindset towards, you know, your workout and kind of like what you're getting out of them is like, just be honest with yourself and know, like try and be, you know, reasonable as far as like what you're doing here, right? Be aware of like the holes that you're creating by not coming to certain workouts, or, you know, whatever the reason may be. Maybe it's you don't think you're good at those movements or whatever. Like, I'm a big proponent of trying to change your mindset from the beginning of really, Crystal makes fun of me all the time for this, because I do not like to not be good at something, like whatever it is, baking, wakeboarding, snow, whatever it is. Like,
yeah,
I hate not being good at it or not being able to do it, right? And that's me personally, but like trying to change your mindset to where, like, whatever it may be, maybe it's a toaster bar. You find that you don't think you're good at toaster bar, right? Use that as a jump off point to be like, you know what? I'm going to come to every toaster bar workout because I want to truly get better at those things, right? Yeah. Or running, like you said, it's the skill of learning how to run and then getting, you know, the conditioning to run more, right? You're only going to get that from running.
Yeah.
Right. Like, change your mindset on making sure that those are a priority to you, not a detriment to your fitness, you know?
Yeah. I think everybody to some degree doesn't like being good at things. I think it's just a matter of degree there. Now, I think everybody shares that. But yeah, I think, you know, kind of moving forward, kind of actionable steps towards changing your mindset here. Again, look at why you're avoiding these things, bring some awareness to that. And then once you kind of identify that, kind of start reframing your mindset. Look at coming to those days that you're still working on as a chance to improve, you know, become a more well-rounded human being. And I mentioned this earlier, but your goals might lie on the other side of this. So like the goals that you're chasing might lie on the other side of you coming more often to those things that you need to work on. You know, let's use the running example. If you have like a health related goals and you struggle with running, you know, maybe a lot of those benefits might lie on the other side of working on that more often, because you don't test your cardiovascular system for those longer duration intervals, or, you know, whatever it is. You might get closer to your goals just by doing this one thing that we're talking about today. And don't let it become like a self-fulfilling prophecy is my last note that I jotted down. Don't, you know, rechange the narrative in your head a little bit. Don't keep telling yourself that you're bad at this and that you hate it. And like, you know, just by coming more often to these movements, you might not necessarily like end up loving it, but I think everybody, when they get better at something and they start showing improvement in something, like, that feels good. You know what I mean? You might not love running by coming to every running workout, but you're going to get some accomplishment. And again, you're going to get closer to your goals and all of these benefits that we talked about. But you need to stop telling yourself that you're bad at this and that you can't do this and all these things. And I just, you know, catch yourself when you do that.
Yeah. Well said.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, I mean, I really think we covered a lot there. I mean, the normal stuff too is, you know, if you do find yourself doing this and cherry picking workouts pretty consistently, but you want to stop, right? Like, you know that it's not a good habit to be in. Just talk with one of us too, because we can help. And maybe it is like you start, you know, using the open gym times and stuff like that to maybe work on it specifically, or whatever it is. That way you do feel more comfortable with it in class. You can do it on your own time or whatever it is. But have the conversation with one of us, and we can help you try and make steps more specifically towards whatever, you know, of this list that you kind of associated with the most, right? And maybe, you know, if it's a partner one, it's like, we'll introduce you to somebody that's going to be there during the class, and you can meet them prior to, you know, ever going to the partner class. And then you get comfortable with them prior to that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just that conversation that you got to have. But again, awareness, kind of like we both talked about, is key here, of, you know, being aware of you doing this, if you are, and then how do you fix it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it right now, Sean, I'm not going to be missing any heavy days.
All right. Yeah, yeah. We got a heavy day.
Hold me accountable.
All right. Oh, and we've talked about this. You know, you hold me accountable doing my weekly handstand push-up stuff to make sure it's not a detriment to my fitness. So, oh, yeah.
All right. Let's attack those weaknesses. Everybody out there, you know, take a chance, attack that weakness. You know, we're getting close to a new year. And good. What better time than right now to start improving?
Yeah.
And the Open's coming. All right, Sean. Have a good one. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys. Have a good week.